Thank you very much. Today I will present on how stormwater nutrients are reduced in bioretention cells. And I will present data from experiments in Washington State. And this map shows the population density of this different counties in Washington State. So green means it's not very heavily populated. And then the red color means that there is a lot of population. And from Jennifer, we just hear that people more and more like to move to the coast. And that is also the case in Washington State. So this is this area here is the Seattle area. And the Seattle area has undergone a lot of growth the past 60, 70 years. So in the 1950s, it was about 1 million people living in the Seattle metro area. And every 20 years, about 1 million people come more into this area, resulting in a population of the Seattle metro area of about 4.5 million today. More and more people living in this area means there are less and less natural systems like these trees that I have indicated here, with more and more impervious areas, there's more and more surface runoff. So if we have a nice original landscape like this, and we look at how our precipitation, let's say, what's the fate of our precipitation, we see that about 40% are evapotranspirated, 10% runoff, and 50% infiltrate and contribute to groundwater and base flow. So if we turn this nice landscape then into this, we also change the fate of the precipitation. And while evapotranspiration remains at a similar level, infiltration is strongly decreased, and about 50% of the stormwater runs off with impacts of surface waters. It picks up the contaminants and also increases the flow rate in the streams and rivers. So back to the Seattle metro area. Seattle metro area is a chunk to the Puget Sound, and Puget Sound is an estuary that is in its way unique. So the south side of Puget Sound was the southern end of the glaciers during the Ice Age. So this area here, or this the Puget Sound, the surface water here was carved out very deep. And if we compare this to another estuary that we know very well, the Chesapeake Bay area, we see that Chesapeake Bay is considerably shallow with about, let's say 20 meters in depth. And if you look at Puget Sound, you get water depth about 200 meters. And what happens is when the stormwater hits Puget Sound, it's not just diluted away into the ocean, because the ocean is somewhere out here. Puget Sound is more like a bathtub or like a lake. So the contaminants that enter Puget Sound, they just sit there and they have time to settle and time to be harmful. In case of the nutrients, so the Department of Ecology in Washington, about once a month they fly around Puget Sound. They call this Eyes Over Puget Sound. You'll find these images online. And they nicely document what the result is in terms of the nutrients we get algae bloom. So Washington State University has realized this, and there was a lot of effort in Western Washington to address stormwater issues. And at the southern end of the Seattle metro area, there's a research and extension center. It's located in Puyallup, which is about between Seattle and Tacoma in Washington State. And they recently focused on, so the last 7-8 years, they focused on stormwater research. There's many column studies that have been done. They put in a permeable parking lot research area, and then also this mesocosm area. And this is what my presentation and my results will be about today. So we'll look at these mesocosms. They are 1.5 meter in diameter and about 1.5 meter deep. And they have a gravel layer, and then on top they have a soil mix, and I will explain the soil mixes in a later slide. So stormwater is routed into the system and then filters through and comes out on on these PVC pipes, gets in this square box where a tipping bucket determines the flow rate. So this whole facility drains about 1,700 square meters, and the stormwater drains into a cistern, and from the cistern it can be routed to an array of 20 mesocosms. So each dot represents one of the mesocosms that I just showed, and these 20 mesocosms are split in 5 treatments and 4 replicates. So the stormwater can be routed there, and after the treatment the stormwater is then collected again and drained into a larger rain garden. And this is how the whole system looks like. That's the view from the cistern, so you're sitting in the cistern right now. If you have this view, and the stormwater comes up and over these weir boxes, it's then distributed and routed to each of these mesocosms. And the soil mixes that were tested in Washington State, where Washington State has a recommended soil mix, and that is 60% sand and 40% compost. And now, Jim, then there is another treatment with water treatment residuals, so less compost, same sand content. Again, a reduced compost and increased sand treatment, and then another water treatment residual. Soil mix with shredded bark, and we added shredded bark to improve infiltration. So for the later slides, I have, because they, all these mixes, they differ by their compost content, so I will differ them by their compost content, and the ones that contain the water treatment residuals I will point out as well. And I have a series of slides that are similar to this one. So first we look at nitrite and nitrates, and the Department of Ecology has published this data that they collected from phase one permittees on different areas. There's industrial area, commercial area, high density and low density residential areas. And interestingly, very early in this research, we found out that the stormwater at the research station is not very polluted. So this, yeah, it's one thing you have to deal with. Yeah. You try to fix something that's not broken, right? So then we came up with the idea, since we have a nice system, we can beef up the loads a little bit. And so we will look at different inflow concentrations, and then we'll look at how the outflow changes. And in this graph, on the right-hand side, I will show the inflow concentration versus the outflow concentration. So all the dots that are on green mean that the pollutant has been reduced. All the ones in red are the, indicate that the pollutant has actually increased in the outflow. The storms that we did without any dosing, without any addition, so at this lower red line, they are the called natural storms, so they are indicated with a triangle, and the dosed ones, they have the dots. So for nitrite and nitrate, we overall see a reduction, and I also want you to recognize that the output or outflow concentration is a function of the inflow, so the more polluted the stormwater was, the more polluted was also the water that flew out. If we look at the different soil mixes, we see a relationship between compost content and nitrite and nitrate reduction. So the soil mixes with the least compost were significantly reducing more nitrite and nitrate. Kaldal nitrogen, this is a similar graph here. Also, our natural stormwater was fairly low, so we have increased the inflow concentrations. And here we see that the natural storms, without any addition, they exported Kaldal nitrogen, and the ones that were dosed, they reduced Kaldal nitrogen. So it's, you can now choose what you like to, you know, how you want to look at this, or you have very polluted stormwater, the system goes well or works well. You have only slightly polluted stormwater, then the system does not work. Is that maybe what we can read out of this? The overall performance of the soil mixes was very similar, and there was no significant differences. And now we'll look at the total phosphorus. Again, the range of inflow concentrations that we had, and then we get this. Natural storms, lots of phosphorus export. So we have four natural storms with a concentration of about 0.05 milligram per liter and outputs of 0.6 and more. Now it looks a little bit better once you start dosing, but I also want you to realize that there is not really a function. So other than with the nitrite and nitrate, there's not really a function. So it looks better if you start dosing, but you don't really change the outflow concentration. And now I present the opposite of what you just presented. I have to admit that water treatment residuals don't work and they are not very efficient. Now this is something that we really cannot explain. If we look at the different soil mixes and how they change the total phosphorus amount, the first one with water treatment residuals was actually performing best, and then there was also the one that performed worst was also the one with the water treatment residuals. Orthophosphorus is even worse. So even for those storms we have export of orthophosphorus, and that is also true for the soil mix with the water treatment residual. So that was in every storm, this was just pushing out phosphorus. Conclusions: the performance of the soil mixes depend on inflow concentrations. For more polluted stormwater, they obviously perform better. No clear effect of water treatment residuals on phosphorus retention. And none of the soil mixes that we tested, so we tested them for not just nutrients, also heavy metals, PAHs, but there was none of the four mixes what this was distinct better that you would say, okay, this is the one that we want to use in the future. Thank you for your attention.
So we do have time for questions.
I route all the phosphorus questions directly to Jim.
Well, I do have a question for both of you. I mean, my understanding that your mesocosms, those things were all mixed together, but when in yours, were they just the water temperatures on the surface? I mean, is that possibly related? I was kind of curious about it also, if you could, if the plan was after 20, 30, 40 years, you just remove those.
Well, during Jim's presentation, I thought a lot about my results. And oh God! We don't really have a soil. It's just sand and compost mixed. And I think a soil itself is a very effective filter. And we may not see this in just a mix of sand and compost. And I think a lot of the, you know, bindings that you have described, they may have happened in that experience, but they still may leach out and are not filled as a particular, I don't know. We're not quite done with this research, by the way, so we just sampled another few storms. Believe it or not, but Seattle had a drought this year. I know it sounds not unbelievable, but also that happens. And we want to go in and sample the phosphorus in the different depths and see what really happens. So this is kind of the preliminary results that I get from just the water quality from the lab.
Very good. Thank you so much.